CEOs are selling a record number of shares, and in today's show, you're going to learn the real reason why and who's eagerly buying up all those shares. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today as we take a look at why corporate insiders who have the most accurate and real-time data of anyone are really selling their shares. Some might say they're selling at the top, while others happen to be buying at the top. Let's take a look and see where the story goes, because CEOs and insiders sell a record $69 billion of their stock, and the year isn't over yet. From Satya Nadella at Microsoft to Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, CEOs, founders, and insiders, according to CNBC, have been cashing in their stock at the highest pace on record. As of Monday, sales by insiders are up 30% from 2020 to $69 billion and up 79% versus a 10-year average, according to Insider Score and Veridity, which excludes sales by large institutional holders. The selling is likely to increase even more as December is often an active month for sales due to tax planning. But is this just a story about tax planning? Well, no, I think the story is a whole lot deeper than that. But let's see what the news says about it first. While some market watchers see insider selling as a warning sign and a signal of a market top, sometimes it is, many of the stocks sold by the insiders, including Tesla and Amazon, have continued to surge after selling. And most of the stocks were sold as part of pre-scheduled selling plans known as 10b5-1 programs. Now, retail investors don't know about 10b5-1 programs. They don't look at them. They don't care. But the question is, despite all of the selling, stocks are going up? Does that make sense? Well, let's keep going. The bulk of this year's sales have been highly concentrated among a few large sellers, including Musk and Bezos, who each sold around $10 billion in stock this year. Ben Silverman, director of research at Insider Score Veridity, said that the top four quote-unquote super sellers, Musk, Bezos, the Waltons, and Zuckerberg, account for 37% of this year's total. The increase in the dollar value of insider sales in 2021 can be attributed to multiple factors, with historically high stock valuations being the primary driver, he said. The presence of supersellers during this period has helped pump up sales total. But again, is it just a story of valuations? Are they just opportunistic CEOs looking to cash in at the top? Or is there more that they know that you don't? Well, let's keep going, because Musk sold another $1.05 billion in Tesla stock last week as part of its options exercise and tax payments. The sales since his famous Twitter poll on November 6th now totaled $9.85 billion, with about half for options-related taxes and the rest for a straight cash out. Jeff Bezos sold a total of $9.97 billion in Amazon stock this year, while his activity is roughly in line with his stock sales last year. They are four times larger than his sales in 2019 and far higher than his sales of $1 billion a year earlier. And filings with the SEC show that his sales are also pre-planned. The Walton family has sold $6.18 billion in Walmart stock this year through their family trust and investment vehicle. The family shall sell shares periodically to maintain their ownership levels and to fund their philanthropic efforts. Zuckerberg has sold $4.47 billion in Meta stock. For those of you who don't know, that's Facebook. This year is part of his pre-planned program, as well as Google founders Larry Page and Sergey Brin have each sold about $1.5 billion of their Alphabet shares. Beyond the scheduled selling programs, however, taxes and high valuations are always also fueling sales. And again, is this just the story about that? Because Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella sold off nearly half of his Microsoft shares. Can you imagine half of his shares for about $285 million? For personal financial planning and diversification reasons. So is this just a tax story? Is this just, you know, diversification? Well, taxes are a factor, but that's not the whole story. Federal taxes are likely an increase for high earners, leading some CEOs to cash in to avoid the hikes. The House has proposed a new 5% surtax on income and over $10 million and 8% on income over $25 million. Potential tax rate and code changes at the federal and state level are likely a motivator, says Silverman. But again, you know, that may not it. You can see they're almost guessing. Perhaps the biggest factor driving up the sales toll is however high stock valuations, as Adam Aron, the CEO of AMC Entertainment, which is up more than 1,500% this year, sold 625,000 shares of his stock for $25 million. Good for him. He plans to sell a total of 1.25 million shares, a part of what he told investors on an earnings call was prudent estate planning. Well, yes, you know, when the shares of a a movie theater company are 1500%, well, it's probably prudent to sell him because he knows that they're not going to generate enough revenue to support their higher stock prices. But again, that's not the whole story. There's so much more to this. But let's take a look at what you see in terms of selling. And this is a chart of insider selling going back to the great financial crisis. And you can see during the crisis, insiders still are selling, but not that much. And as the market rises, which we're not seeing here, but we know it happened, insiders start to sell. And going into 2015, they started increasing their sales as the economy slowed. And perhaps that's the real story that's going on here. Because remember, we faced a global slowdown and almost a double dip recession in 2015 going into 2016, and the stock market went up. And now look, record amount of selling. So what's really going on? Perhaps, well, it's all that inside information that they know, that real-time information that they have that we're just finding out about. And here you can see the Black Friday brought shoppers back to stores as sales rose and returned to brick and mortar locations. But that's not the whole story, because Retail Next, a firm that tracks shopper accounts in thousands of stores with cameras and sensors, said store traffic rose 61% this Black Friday compared to last year, but was down 27% from 2019. So, wow, there's something that these CEOs knew ahead of time. Sensormatic Solutions, another firm that tracks store traffic, said Black Friday traffic rose 48% last year, but was down 28%. Well, can you imagine when traffic is down 28%, what that probably means for sales? And the Thanksgiving holiday weekend was the first time in years that online retail sales didn't increase from the prior year. According to some industry estimates, online Black Friday sales fell to $8.9 billion from $9 billion last year. So you've seen flatline sales, according to Adobe Inc. While Thanksgiving online sales were roughly flat at $5.1 billion, the first time sales didn't increase since Adobe started tracking the figures in 2012. And yet Cyber Monday, well, that was flat as well, a smaller savings curb incentive to spend. And online retailers offered fewer discounts, but because of limited inventory, perhaps the other part of the story, more shoppers still returned to stores, and shoppers spent $7.1 billion online as of 9 p.m. Eastern in the U.S. According to transaction data compiled by Adobe, shoppers are expected to spend between $10.4 and $11.1 billion on Cyber Monday. American consumers spent $10.8 billion last year. And store workers have an issue too. So, you know, the first part, the real part of the story is that you're seeing sales peaking or perhaps starting to slow down a little bit. And if you're a CEO and you have real-time data about this, well, there's something that you've got an advantage on because you can sell before everyone else. But what about the inventory issue? And here you can see as store workers to Black Friday shoppers, don't blame the shortages on us, as retail workers are on the front line with customers upset about higher prices and missing merchandise. And isn't that kind of the rest of the story and that we're going to look at as we take a look at analyst estimates here in a moment? Is if you're seeing that sales are peaking out and there isn't inventory coming in for people to buy, for those who want to buy, well, what do you think that means for overall earnings and revenues and profits? Well, it means they're headed lower. And that usually isn't good for stock prices. Here we head over to FactSet, where analysts are not raising quarterly S&P 500 earnings per share estimates for the first time since Q2 2020. And perhaps not a surprise now that we look at that, and they're saying that the first quarter QQ is going to be come in at zero. And we know that when it came in previously at negative 35.9, stocks went down. We've seen back in 2018, the stock market had a little bit, 17, 18, the stock market was struggling as or quarterly earnings per share went negative. So there's perhaps the real story of what's going on here is corporate insiders and CEOs know that all this news is not really good for their stock price. But yet, who's buying it all? Who is so eager to buy high while the insiders are selling high? Remember, you want to sell high and buy low. And that's exactly, if you take a look at Portfolio Shield, if you're disappointed in how your money manager is managing your portfolio, take a look at Portfolio Shield. You'll see how it should be done in a whole different light, because what I'm about to show you is retail is buying all these stocks at a record pace, and U.S. retail investors are rushing to buy this Omicron triggered dip. In fact, retail investors have been buying every dip, as you see the CEOs and corporate insiders are unloading their shares at record pace. But so what do these CEOs know? Well, they know the economy is slowing. Now you might say, well, how would I know that? I don't have access to that information. Well, you know, I don't either. But there is one way you can easily tell, and that's our friend the bond market. And we take a look at 30-year treasury yields. What it's telling us is, as yields start to head lower, that what we see is growth and inflation expectations are falling. And when many people look at that compared to the consumer price index, they see the consumer price index rising, and they assume that interest rates must rise with them because they go back into the 70s and say, so the consumer prices rose, so interest rates rose. But the game has changed, and a lot of people don't understand something that I want you to understand really well, and that is the consumer price is a lagging indicator, and treasury yields are a forward-looking indicator. They're telling you what is coming in the future. They're telling you that growth is slowing and that inflation expectations are slowing as well. And we could see that in the chart here where going into the great financial crisis. Well, look here. In 2005, you see that the consumer price index was rising as yields were falling. It was telling you financial conditions were tightening. And sure enough, consumer prices came crumbling back down, at least the CPI came back down, and then you see it rising in the great financial crisis and yields went down, showing the financial conditions were tightening. We got outright deflation, and we see it again in 2011, CPI going up and yields going down. So you continue to see this trend over and over, and now we see it again, consumer price index going up, yields going down. Everyone thinks the CPI, which we'll have this week, is going to keep going higher and higher, but what do these CEOs know? The financial conditions are tightening. That's what they know. And they know that's when they need to get out. Because what happens when yields fall and start to decline and show that financial conditions are tightening, typically it's not good for stocks. And here you can see going into the dot-com bubble and how that recession burst. You can see it in the great financial crisis. As yields rolled over and headed lower, so too did stock prices. And then you look at yields went down and the stock price isn't red. I got a little bit backwards there. But anyways, you see yields going down into late 2018, 2019, and the stock market slowed down, fought to grow, but it didn't really get anywhere for about a year. And now yields are going down, telling you financial conditions are tightening, and CEOs and insiders are getting out because they know what's really going on here. And even that, we see still more evidence that yields are likely to fall as we take a look at the real estate loan data. And we're finally seeing some growth in real estate data as it's running, you know, somewhere around 2.5% to 3% year over year. Here you see the 12-month rate of change at 2.66. And what does that tell us? Well, in order to support high real estate prices, we need this to keep going up. And we needed to get up into this 5%+ range. And it's not going to get there. As we've seen with higher interest rates, it's going to get there with lower interest rates. And so the bond market is saying, look, you want to keep your home prices up? Rates need to fall because when rates go up, well, loan demand falls. And here you can see in commercial industrial lending, the 12-month year-over-year rate change is at -7%. Now it's improving, which is good, but at the rate it's going, it's got a long ways to go to get back to even normal trends, which are about 10% a year. And to get there, we need lower rates. And how about total loans and leases at all commercial banks? The 12-month rate change, much due to the commercial lending, is at 2.4% year over year, but even it's too low. And in order to get people to borrow, you need lower rates. But there's only one place where we see a lot of borrowing, and that is credit cards. Boy, consumers are back at 6% on an annualized basis and back pretty much to where they need to be. Maybe a little higher and they'll be at normal, which is somewhere between 7% to 8%. And that is the story, is financial conditions are tightening. The CEOs know that revenues are coming down because people aren't buying as much. And if there aren't goods on the shelves, people can't buy them. That means lower revenues. That means lower earnings. That means lower profits. And of course, all that means lower stock prices. So now you know what the CEOs know. And I'm Steve Van Meter. Thanks for watching. We'll see you back Wednesday. Bye now. The content of this video is price educational information only. It's not intended to provide investment or other advice. Shares not to be considered as a recommendation or solicitation to participate in any particular trading strategy. This video was paired by Steve Van Meter. In my own personal capacity, as opinions expressed this video, that I do not affect the view of Atlas Financial Advising or Steve Van Meter Financial. If you're ever wondering, this show is recorded live. Bye now.